This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
So I'm looking at some of the coverage of this Trump trial, or this beginning of the Trump trial, the jury selection, and so much of the coverage focuses on the fact that President Trump may have nodded off, that he may have fallen asleep. And I'm thinking that anybody that thinks that's actually news has never been to jury selection in a criminal trial. Do you know how? In fact, I've covered a lot of trials over the years. I don't think there's a single trial I haven't fallen asleep during. I'll never forget. It was very embarrassing one time after, producing the morning show. I went out to court covering a federal, I think a murder trial, actually. And I was sleeping very soundly. I wasn't snoring, but I was sleeping very soundly. And I had to be woken up by one of the marshals, one of the court security officers. It was very embarrassing for that to be the first face that you see, this big guy with a giant badge. So that leads us to one of the things that I was going to bring up with a veteran broadcast journalist and a guy who has covered many trials over the years, Dominic Carter. Dominic, I know you've fallen asleep from time to time in court. I know you have.
Well, Mr. 4-4, I'm going to say that for the rest of your life.
I'll take it.
You know, and 4-4 is the reference to on the list of talkers magazine. Mr. Morano is number 44 out of, you have thousands of talk show hosts throughout the country, and they list the most powerful, most impactful 100. And he's number 44. So next year, you'll be 2015.
Who knows? And, who knows? You know. I just hope I'm still employed by next year.
But I know the feeling.
Yeah.
But to your point, I was an embed reporter, right, for the Southern District. So here's what that means. And you talk about falling asleep. So here's what that means. That means you have to show the federal authorities in your city. They have to see clips of your work, right, in advance. Then you have to submit this application. Then the FBI investigates you, because when you're an in-bed reporter at a federal courthouse, you don't have to go through the security procedures.
And you get to keep your mobile phone, which most of the other reporters don't get to do.
Right. You get to keep your mobile phone, which is very important.
Oh, yeah.
So when there's a verdict, I've worked out code systems, but you got to make sure you got the right system. If I text you 2, that means guilty. If I text you 1, that means not guilty. And they have anchors on set waiting for your text. And you got to pray this all goes right. So you go through this FBI background check and you're in court every day. Your biggest fear when you're an in-bed reporter, especially with these federal judges that are no nonsense, is that you're going to fall asleep in their courtroom because the judge, him or herself, will embarrass you.
Oh, no doubt about it. I've seen not only a lot of other journalists fall asleep, and defendants, by the way, but jurors. I've seen jurors, especially after lunch.
Yes.
A lot of jurors do fall asleep. So I don't think that was that big of a deal based on jury selection. But it does lead me to a question that I want to ask you about, and that is a Gallup poll, which shows that Americans are sleeping less and are more stressed than ever. Women, particularly those under the age of 50, are reporting that they're sleeping less than they need and they have much higher stress levels than men. So for the first time in Gallup polling since 2001, a majority of adults, 57%, say they would feel better if they got more sleep. And 42% say they get as much sleep as they need. And it's nearly a reversal of the last time that they measured this about 10 years ago. I didn't even need to, because we know one another's schedules. I don't need to even ask about your sleep schedule.
Right. When you do the shifts that we do,
no,
sleep is a luxury.
Especially when you have a family and everything else. But two-part question for you, Dominic. One, why do you think over the last 10, 20 years, Americans on the whole are getting so much less sleep? When you think about the trends of things like working from home, of things like mandated vacations and things of that nature, you would think maybe there'd be a little more opportunity for getting sleep. And the second thing is, what do you think we can do about this? Do you buy these numbers? And second, why do you think Americans are getting less sleep?
Well, I think in many cases, particularly with women, the reason why they're getting less sleep is because primarily they're the caretaker for the children, and you know the kids are sick or whatever. I know Carmine's been sick a couple of times. Mm-hmm. You and Rachel dealing with that. But women in generally have to deal with the kids. So I can see how they're getting less sleep. And it depends on how you define less sleep. So like for me, if I don't get 8 hours, it's very hard for me to function. I can go on about 4 to 5, but you talk about faking it. You talk about irritable. That's me. What do you need?
Well, you know, if I can get 7 hours, I'm ahead of the game, and then maybe a 15 minute nap at some point, you know, but 7 hours to me, I got 7 hours yesterday because, you know, Sunday into Monday is the day when my schedule goes back from regular to nocturnal. So I was able to sleep soundly for 7 hours, but it was in the middle of the day and happened to be an area that was pretty noisy. A lot of, stuff going on.
You know what's crazy about our schedule? So I'm cheap. So I know that I should have replaced my mattress. No, seriously. Mm-hmm. With family members and friends, I'll give you the shirt off my back. But when it comes to me, I'm cheap. And I should have replaced my mattress a long, long time ago. But I was able to get by, so who needs a new mattress? So Saturday, I was able to sleep for, I think, 10 and a half hours.
Whoa, that's great.
But I woke up and my lower back is killing me.
Oh, geez, okay.
And so this is what you get for being cheap and not buying the new mattress. And I have a mattress at home. What do you call them? Bed in a box or whatever you bed in or whatever you call those things.
Sure.
A spare bed. So I didn't want to use the mattress because I didn't want it. You know, I didn't want it to be worn. But this is what I get. So I got more sleep the other night, but now my lower back is killing me.
So you can't win for losing. But so according to the answer to that Americans gave to this poll is, do you think the number of hours sleep you get at night is as much sleep as you need, or do you think you would feel better if you get more sleep? So now we're seeing 57% say they're not getting enough sleep, which is a big uptick from 10 years ago and a big uptick from 20 years ago. What's changed in society? There were always women that were looking after children. In fact, maybe more so even 20 years ago because there were childbirth rates that were a bit higher. What's changed?
Maybe it's the hustle. Maybe it's the hustle in life. You know, we're always rushing to get someplace, no matter what city or state you're listening to this show from or you may live in. We're always, you know, on our grind. Maybe that's it. I would have a lot more respect for the survey if they defined what's less sleep and if we could know. Because I have a buddy, for example, that's a police officer in Georgia. He gets about 5 hours of sleep a night, and that's perfect for him.
Well, you know, some of the people we talk about regularly, Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, Rudy Giuliani,
right.
You know, who's listening right now, I'm sure, is John Katzmatidis.
Right.
They can function pretty well not getting much sleep at all. I need at least 6 hours, I would say, at least six or seven.
And not broken up. See, I'm not talking about broken up sleep.
Right. No, I need six hours, ideally seven. Straight hours.
So why do you think it is?
That's why you're always such an astute observer of the human condition, and you're always bringing out points that I wouldn't think of. I was waiting for you to bring up some sort of racial point that I wouldn't have thought of, but you didn't. So I think honestly, part of it is that what we're consuming, right? I think people are devouring these 20 ounce coffees all day long. I can't imagine that's good for their routine.
You're right.
Terms of sleep. And then they also, you know, I walked out of my house the other day. My neighbor is drinking a can of this energy drink that's all the rage, Celsius, it's called. And I think there's a lot of consumption, not just of caffeine, but other things that may disrupt the sleep cycle. But I also, Dominic, think some of it is cultural. I think there's this idea, I guess this has always been there, that people who get the amount of sleep that they need or get 7 or 8 hours sleep, that they're lazy, that they're not doing their job well, when the truth is that if you are getting a good night's sleep, you're probably going to be more productive than somebody that's not getting the sleep that they have.
I'm that type. And you know, staying up half the night listening to your show, I'm serious, just about every night. So now sometimes I can't fall asleep. I don't know if it's because I'm wired after having just got off the air after listening to you. And now I have to drink. And see, for me, this is the sign that I'm getting old. Mm. I have to drink sleepy time tea, something to help me go to sleep.
I like that sleepy time tea.
Because I can lay down and I'll stare at. I have a rule in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife doesn't like this rule. I can't go to sleep watching television news, because if I go to sleep watching television news, when I wake up, I get all amped up and we're going to wake up in the middle of the night, this just coming in, and I'm on 3 hours of sleep, right?
I get it.
And then I'm looking at the cat and I'm looking at the birds and we're looking at each other and there's no sleep. So now I do sleepy time tea.
I also think part of it is a function of these mobile phones. I hate to be the guy that's blaming mobile phones for everything, but you're staring at these phones right before you go to bed. I think the light, the fact that they're constantly buzzing, the information, the stimulus that you're getting from these phones, it doesn't help. I'll just give you a couple of numbers here. In 1942, there were less than 5% of Americans that said they were getting 5 hours of sleep or a night or less. Less than 5%.
Okay.
Now it's 20% that say that. And you might think, okay, well, that's 1942. That's 80 years ago. In 1990, only 14% of Americans said they got 5 hours of sleep or less. The numbers have gone down. I think caffeine's part of it. I think the culture's part of it. And I think the mobile phone is part of it, honestly.
Definitely the mobile phone, because sometimes to go to sleep, I'll do the sleepy time tea, and I'll go to YouTube and put on the rainforest where you can hear the rain and the thunder. I love the rain. No, there was that song "Walking in the Rain" with the one I love. So I'll put on the rainforest. Seriously,
Neil Sedaka, right?
And sometimes it'll work, but now it's to the point where that won't even work. And so I put in the AirPods. What do you call those things you put into your
ears? Yeah, AirPods.
Whatever you call them. So I put that in. And then I get mad at myself because I wake up and the phone is right under my shoulder. And I'm like, oh, my God, how much radiation did I get all night long with this phone right under me?
All right. Before I let you go, I mentioned to you right before the show that we could be seeing up to a trillion cicadas that are about to emerge in the United States.
Right. I'm still pissed off at you from last night because I said I brought up the topic of a sex tape and you said absolutely not. And I said we could be the next Kim Kardashian and each be billionaires. But anyway, go ahead. Go ahead with your insect story.
There are up to a trillion cicadas that are apparently about to emerge in the United States.
Now, what exactly is a cicada?
Well, and that's what I was going to say.
Okay.
That you asked me, what's a cicada? How would you not know what a cicada is?
I don't know what a cicada is.
And you live outdoors.
Now, the answer I was going to give you was racial, and I think Tony could understand, but I'm not going to do it because it's really racial. I'm not going to say the insect that I'm used to. Oh, that's a cicada?
Is that a cicada?
Sounds like a damn cricket to me.
Well, they're similar to crickets. Right.
See, it sounds like a cricket.
That's what a cicada looks like.
Oh.
Yeah, and so they're going to be everywhere. Some come out once every 15 years, some come out once every 17 years. This is a year where all of them are coming out.
Really?
So this place is going to be crawling
in
cicadas.
The ones in my house are black ants.
Black ants?
And my wife is running around killing the black ants, and ill, black ants everywhere.
All right, well, get ready for cicadas.
So cicadas, they're going to be inside the house?
Probably. They'll get a few in there, yeah.
And what do they do?
They don't do anything. They're harmless. Some people even eat cicadas.
That's nasty.
Hey, they're out there.
Have you ever had deer meat?
I don't think so. Venison. I know it's popular.
Right?
Yeah, well, no,
have
never
you ever had any other types of meat? It might help you sleep longer.
My Uncle Steve, I don't think so. My Uncle Steve, I don't know if he's still into it, but years ago when I was a child, he was a hunter. And he and his friend, they shot pheasant and they served us pheasant, which honestly, again, I think I was probably only 10 years old at the time, but it did taste. I know everybody says this. It tasted just like chicken.
Everybody says that about every type of wild animal.
Exactly.
Like chicken.
Exactly.
Was it fried?
It's a while ago, but I think it was. Yeah. I think so.
And so what, that's a baby rabbit? What is that?
No, pheasant is, it's a bird.
Oh, the bird. Oh.
All right.
Oh.
Well, now that.
So have you ever been hunting?
No, that's not my thing. I wouldn't do that. I don't like the whole shooting defenseless animals. That's not for me. Yeah, that's not for me. Again, I recognize other people
but I gotta
are
tell
into
you,
it. It's not for me.
You know, I spent a lot of time in Pennsylvania, and in states like Pennsylvania, hunting is big.
Oh, I know. No,
upstate
I have family
New York,
that do
the
it.
Midwest, very big.
You know why you can't do it, Dominic? Because you would not look good in the hat and hunting gear. I can't see you in like an Elmer Fudd hat and one of those vests, you know, with the orange looking thing. I can't see it.
Can I say something that's going to get both of us in trouble?
Why stop now? Yesterday you had us making sex tapes. Today you admitted you don't know what a cicada is.
How many brothers do you know go hunting? I don't know that many.
that's a fair point.
We're not going to mention swimming and none of that stuff. It got a lot of people in trouble. We're going to leave that alone.
I will.
And cicadas. You said cicadas.
Yeah,
that's what they call
them. There you go. Be careful. You're going to see them all the time now. Just be warned.
Be warned.
Yeah, be warned. You don't have to flip out, but they're harmless. They're going to be okay. Dominic, thank you. 800-848-9222. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation.
And you see, I'm going to be up all night now.
Good.
Listening to
a lot of good
listening
stuff.
To people talk about why Americans are getting less sleep.
That's right. And let us know what you think. 800-848-9222. My theory, I can't explain, as Dominic attempted to, the disparity between men and women. I can't explain that one. Dominic's explanation strikes me as good of an explanation as any. I think in general, the phones are part of it. The caffeine consumption is part of it. And the cultural aspect of making people who need to get a lot of sleep, or not even a lot of sleep, get a decent amount of sleep, feel bad.
So as a talk show host, how much sleep do you get?
It varies. Yesterday I got 7 hours, which I was very happy with. Felt great. But then I was, I was about to leave. I had about 20 minutes free. And I said, or maybe a half hour free, I said I could either exercise or take a nap. I'll let you guess as to which one out there.
So, knowing you, you exercise.
But I
give you a lot of credit. I really do. I know you're going to kick me out of here now. I give you a lot of credit because with Carmine, you're a very hands-on father. And the type that I am, you know, when my kids were growing up, is like, honey, here.
I appreciate that. But trust me, I think we're going to be at the dentist today. So that'll test all of our patients, both mine and his.
Well, good luck.
Thank you, Dominic. I appreciate it. All right. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Elizabeth April is going to be here in a moment. Elizabeth April wants you to stop taking UFO advice from a bunch of old white men. Now, who is she? Why? Well, she's got hundreds of thousands of followers on every platform that she's on, the YouTube, Instagram, everywhere. And she was part of that Demi Lovato UFO special for the Peacock Network, which has gotten a lot of attention. But what about this report that Arrow just put out saying essentially that there's nothing to it? There's nothing to any of these sightings that is extraterrestrial. It's all innocently explained and not a big deal. We'll chat with Elizabeth April in just a moment and get her contrary view on that question. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
After the hour, this is The Other Side of Midnight. We spent a lot of time exploring the issue of UFOs or UAPs, whatever you want to call it. They both mean essentially the same thing. And the possibility that extraterrestrials have actually visited this planet. Now, some people, because of the amount of time and the amount of segments that we've done on this, assume that I am just some, you know, person that is obsessed with UFOs, that believes that aliens are here on a daily basis. That's not true. What I am is open-minded, and I'm open to learning more. What I'm also is curious, genuinely curious about what one of the greatest mysteries in the history of the universe might portend for our own future. And so I just can't get enough information and all sorts of content related to UFOs. One of the specials that got a lot of attention recently was the Peacock Network special Identified. Got a lot of attention in part because one of the people involved with it was the pop superstar Demi Lovato. Well, someone who has sort of become a UFO guru, especially for the younger people in American society, is Elizabeth April. She has been described as a visionary, a ufologist, and a spiritual wellness expert. Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining me on the radio. It's great to have you.
Hey, Frank. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to dive in.
So, Elizabeth, because that Demi Lovato special got so much attention, let me ask you about that. You helped Demi Lovato find UAPs on that show, Unidentified. Tell us about that. How did that experience work out for you? And how do you help someone find UAPs?
Yeah, I mean, overall, it was really incredible. We went into the desert in Sedona, Arizona. And, you know, I think a lot of contact comes down to intention. I know it sounds super woo-woo, but they are highly intelligent beings and their style of communication is more telepathic. So if you present the right intention and you, of course, find the right location, then it's quite easy to make contact. So that's kind of what I guided her and her friends to do, is to set the intention to open up that heart center, right? To be, I guess, open and non-threatening. And we ended up seeing over 30 UFOs wow. that night. It was quite incredible. So, yeah, and she was pretty mind-blown herself. And for me, I mean, it was just kind of another day. But it was cool. Overall, it was a very cool experience.
Now, you describe these beings as being telepathic. Do you believe or do you know if there's one species that we're talking about here or multiple?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's an infinite number of species in the universe. And one thing that I see within this field is a lot of people believe that all interdimensionals, all aliens are good. And some believe that they're all bad. And I just don't think that that's the way the universe works. We live in a binary system. We have, quote unquote, good humans and bad humans. And it's the same with extraterrestrials. We've got well-intentioned species out there. And then we've got, ill-intentioned species out there. And we need to realize that they all have their own agenda.
How did you get into this initially, studying it, being interested in it, helping other people with their interest in it? What sparked your initial interest in this?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a journey. I'm 31 right now. When I was born with extrasensory abilities, which essentially means that I was able to see energies and feel emotions and even see ghosts and spirits in the room from a very young age. I was born Catholic, so for a very long time, I really wanted to be a nun. It horrified my mom, but I felt like I could talk to God. So I wanted to do something with that connection. Of course, I didn't know at the time that I was indeed connecting with extraterrestrial beings and not necessarily, you know, the God in the Bible. And then, you know, throughout my years of exploring that skill and ability, I ended up stumbling across past life regression. So at 16, I did my first past life regression. And in an hour and a half, I explored about five different lifetimes and realized, oh my goodness, time doesn't exist and we're all reincarnated. Which was pretty cool. And so I ended up giving past life regressions to others at that time. At 18, that's how I ended up making friends in university, was giving past life regressions. And at a certain point, I was regressing myself into my own Akashic records, my own past lifetimes, and exploring sort of that quantum side, right? Simultaneous time. And then right around that time where I was tapping into telepathy and remote viewing and, you know, past life regression, I ended up getting abducted by aliens. And at that point, it's not that I didn't believe in them, but I just never really gave them a second thought. I mean, why would I? They didn't affect my life. And so talk about a whole can of worms being opened when I was abducted and realized, holy, they are real and they're here. And it just prompted all of the questions. Who are they? Why are they here? Why are they interested in humanity? Are they good? Are they bad? What are their intentions? And what is the future of humanity look like with disclosure?
So, and if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Elizabeth April. If you want to learn more about her, you can absolutely check out not only her YouTube channel, but her website, ElizabethApril.com. Elizabeth, you know how cynical the average talk radio listener, especially in the middle of the night, may be. And a lot of them are going to say something along the lines of, well, here you have this telepathic ability, the ability to tap into people's past lives, the ability to communicate with other entities, whether they're ghosts or extraterrestrials or both. And a lot of folks view that as being in the supernatural realm. It's something that they're not even necessarily convinced is possible. And then it just so happens, of all the people to get abducted by aliens, who they may also put in that, which they may also put in that basket of supernatural or paranormal, oh, of course, it's the person who's speaking with ghosts and helping people regress into their past lives. What would you say to those people, the skeptics and the cynics, who have a difficult time believing that you were abducted?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I've dealt with skeptics my whole life. And, you know, I withheld a lot of the information for a very long time because of that. And I say it all the time. What I believe in is absolutely crazy. Like, even today, you know, I'm mind blown myself. And that understanding that this experience that I've had is so different than the norm, you know, so that doesn't get lost within my life and my journey. And ultimately, I believe that we all have a soul. I believe that we're all energy beings. We have a consciousness. It's been scientifically measured, 28 grams or whatever they've kind of measured it as. But there is an energy within us. And within that energy, I believe we can all tap into aspects beyond this physical material reality. So if you want to put it in the framework of quantum mechanics, let's talk science, because a lot of what I believe and what I've experienced has been scientifically proven. And we're only just now uncovering the truth beyond the material. So yeah, ghosts, spirits, aliens, it sounds bizarre and so woo-woo and so crazy. But ultimately, I believe we can all tap into these unseen realms. And I think that disclosure, especially cosmic disclosure, we're going to see more and more in our life. And the people who are skeptical are going to have their own experience. There is nothing that I can say to convince anyone. And that's not what I'm here to do.
Sure.
All I'm here to do is to share my experience and hope that that opens someone else's mind enough so that they can have their own experience and understand how great this universe is.
You have a very popular YouTube channel and podcast, and you've reached hundreds of thousands of people, especially Generation Z and millennial women. Do you find Generation Zers or younger folks in general to be more open-minded to this stuff than their older counterparts?
Absolutely. I mean, I think always the younger generation has more of an open mind than the older generation. And I'm surprised that I've had clients who are 85 all the way to 8. You know, it is a pretty wide stretch. And just like Demi Lovato, no matter who you are or what category you're placed in, there's always that room for an open mind and a belief beyond this world. So I think it's pretty incredible how many people are waking up to what's happening. I think one thing that a lot of people are missing is discernment. And there is a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of disinformation out there. So ultimately, it comes down to your own sort of intuition to tune into what feels right to you and what doesn't feel right to you, and to really follow that instead of following a person.
What did you make of the Arrow report, which essentially downplayed, and that's putting it politely, all of the ET or UFO experiences that people have attributed to ETs over the years? What'd you make of it, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to have scientists and experts and reports on both sides of whatever we're debating that say this is the correct side or this is the correct side. It's not up to me to say, you know, if this report is correct or not. All I know is the experience that I've had, and of course the people that I've helped along the way, listening to their experiences. I know that these things are very real, and I also know that there's a lot of limitations within society that hold people back from opening their mind up that far. I mean, take a look at religion and the Bible. Anything that isn't the God or the devil is a demon. So a lot of people just believe that aliens are demons. And I can't tell them that they're wrong, because that's their reality. That is their belief. And just like, you know, people have to just honor my experience and what I believe. I'm very neutral in that way. You know, I really don't try and push what I've experienced on others, just because I know it is so far outside of what we've been programmed to believe.
You've used the term disclosure a couple times in our conversation. Generally, people that use that word talk about the government coming forward to the public with what they know and have been concealing about UFOs and about extraterrestrials. Is that how you mean disclosure? If not, what do you mean by disclosure?
Yeah, for me, disclosure is a bit of an umbrella term, and it does include government documents being declassified. You know, I always roll my eyes and say, we're still debating over the same 1960s dot in the sky video. Like, come on, like, let's move on, right? So I feel like in so many ways we're behind, but I also am excited about the new information coming to light, the new whistleblowers, the declassified documents. And that's a big part of disclosure, I think, for the mainstream. But there's also another side of disclosure, which is individual disclosure. And right now we are seeing an unprecedented amount of sightings all over the world. And whether they're captured on camera or not, that person has an experience. You could almost even call it a spiritual experience. And it changes them for the rest of their life. I mean, you talk to any experiencer, and that one moment when they were 10, or that one moment when they were 25 driving down that highway, I mean, they'll never forget it. And that, I think, is more aligned to the disclosure that I'm seeing in the future, is more of an individual disclosure. As much as I would love a giant UFO to land on the White House lawn, I just don't think that's how it's going to happen.
So what do you think is next, Elizabeth?
I think a lot of things are next. I think that there will be some sort of global, I guess you could call it a global disclosure, but there's got to be some sort of global recognition. And I'm sure it's going to take the next 5 to 10 years to get there. But once we get there, once we are fully aware of interplanetary species, different races, and what their agendas are, then we can start doing universal trade with them, not international trade, but universal trade. So, I mean, think about the kind of technology that we could gain access to. You know, think about the sort of relations, the advancement that we could have in being able to fully connect with them in a public way. Now, something that I always say that needs to happen before we get to that point is we need to honor and recognize one another for all of our cultural and language and religious differences first before we get to a whole other species. We just need to recognize that we're all the same first before we can even get to a place where we can accept and recognize a completely different race in the universe.
Talking with Elizabeth April. You can check out her website at elizabethapril.com. Elizabeth, just going back to something you touched upon earlier with respect to past lives and past life regression, a caller called me not long ago and asked if I ever had the impression that I had lived a past life. And the truth is, no, it never occurred to me. I never felt as if I was actually a Roman centurion or an Egyptian pharaoh or anything along those lines. Does everybody that's living now, have they all led past lives, or is it just some people?
I would say the majority of humans on planet Earth have had past lifetimes. One really distinguishable symptom of having a past life is irrational fears. Like, for example, if you had an irrational fear of the ocean, and yet you've never had a bad experience with the ocean in this lifetime, it's a pretty good indication that maybe you died or you drowned or you got caught up in a storm in a past life in the ocean. And that's where that irrational fear comes from. So that's one of the discernible aspects of past life connections that we can make. I have met a couple of very new humans, you could say, but the majority of people that I've interacted with have all had at least a minimum of one lifetime before this.
Interesting, really interesting. And if someone's interested in seeing a UFO, how can they do what you did for Demi Lovato and see one of these UFOs? How do they open their mind or their spirit into a place where they're able to see one of these things?
Yeah, so one of the biggest, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, the biggest things that we can do is set an intention, right? I think everything manifests and comes into existence through intention and focus. Going back to quantum mechanics, we create the reality around us through observation. And that goes back to the double slit experiment and wave particle duality. So all we have to do is first observe the reality that we want to create, which is making contact with extraterrestrials or UAPs. And once we observe that internally, we can then really pull that reality into us externally. And as much as I could say, you know, go out to the desert or go out to some sort of, you know, abandoned land in the forest or something like that, contact can happen really anywhere. Even in really busy cities, I've seen it happen. So it really is just that focus and that intention. And then it comes down to the right timing. When you're ready to have that experience, it will happen. And not before that and not after that, but it's always in that divine timing.
And finally, Elizabeth, when you talk about your abduction or other experiences that others may have with UFOs, is that something that's physical, or is it something that is purely unseen, that's purely spiritual or emotional or psychological? Can someone take a video or a photo of aliens coming down to abduct someone like you or someone like anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question. So contact can happen multiple different ways. And you kind of mentioned both of them, right? It can happen physically and it can happen non-physically, especially because they are very much so higher dimensional or metaphysical beings. They can really contact us. It could be in a deep state of meditation or in a dream, or they could just astral project into the room and telepathically speak to you if you're open enough for that. But my abduction in particular when I was 18 was physical. I was physically taken from my room, physically put onto the ship. I could, you know, see all the beings around me and what was going on. And I think that is the scariest type of experience for any human, because you truly feel completely like a fish out of water. You feel, you know, the biggest fear we have as a humanity is the fear of the unknown, and talk about not knowing what's going on. And I think that that's why a lot of people who have been physically abducted actually end up repressing those memories as a bit of a defense mechanism.
Elizabeth April, I appreciate you coming on with the radio with me. Thank you. I hope we can do this again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Frank. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, be my guest at 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Every little thing she does is magic. This is a birthday bumper music selection from Anita Bonita, a terrific radio broadcaster who has been a staple on many different stations, AM and FM, in multiple different markets over the years. And it's a great person who I've met many times, and it's her birthday today. So happy birthday, Anita. Evidently, she is a big fan of The Police. Going to get to your calls in a moment, 800-848-9222. If you want to comment, there are three, count them, three open lines. Meantime, got to tell you. So yesterday afternoon, you know, my day begins largely in the afternoon, and I make my way downstairs, and my son was napping. He actually woke me up because he was crying a little bit when my wife was putting him down for a nap. He fell right asleep in the car as she was taking him home from preschool. And the teacher told my wife that he was very lethargic and really was not, was not himself, didn't eat any of his lunch. He was kind of just came across as very, very tired. So he falls asleep right away in the car, and she brings him in to put him down for a nap, which is what we usually do when he comes home from school, take a nap, you know, when he comes home. And he didn't want to take a nap. He was crying and carrying on. He wanted to do anything else. And that's kind of what woke me up, his crying and stuff. But it was about ready for me to start my day anyway. So I make my way downstairs, and it's not just Carmine crying that made it difficult to sleep. There, we had neighbors that were taking down trees. We had neighbors in another house that were tearing apart their driveway. There's all sorts of trucks. And then our landscapers come. And now the guy that does my lawn does such a good job. And everyone compliments our lawn when they come over. In fact, there are now sightseeing tours in our neighborhood. You know, those double-decker tour buses? They circle our block just to point out my lawn, not because I'm a very famous radio superstar, but because the lawn looks that good. They don't even know who it belongs to. So they, because our lawn looks so great, three of our neighbors, at least, maybe more, all on the same block, they now use my guy also. Now, my guy is a nice guy and a great landscaper. But how can I put this? He may be a few aces short of a full deck. For starters, he thinks my son's name is Angelo. He also is very protective of the grass. And, you know, he's done a number of other things that you would describe as a bit eccentric. But I don't care. I'm an eccentric guy myself. Be as eccentric as you want. Just cut the grass. That's it. Just don't be a jerk and cut the grass. That's it. Fine. So my wife is getting some work done. She works from home, and she's working at our dining room table. And she was having a little lunch, I think. And I said, well, why don't I bring my computer in here and you bring your computer in here? We'll both work at the, you know, both work at the table side by side. Be like we're a shared office space while our son is sleeping. She said, okay. And I could tell she's right in the middle of her workday. She's working on all sorts of stuff. She's taking phone calls. She's typing. She's getting emails. You know, she looks exactly like someone who is in the middle of their workday and also had the middle of their workday disrupted by having to go pick up her son from preschool. And she picks up her mobile phone and she sighs. And this is a sigh that could stop 1,000 ships. This is a sigh that I hear in my nightmares. This is a sigh that when my wife is 3 floors above where I am, I know that this sigh is an indication of her displeasure 80% of the time because of something that I did. Not this time, though. She looks at the phone and she got an SMS text message from Joe the landscaper. And it's a lengthy text message. So she shows me this, and it's a lengthy message. And I just read whenever a text message is more than 140 characters, I just read the first line and the last line. And she just shakes her head no. She says, I can't deal with this right now. I can't deal with this. Can you go talk to him and see what this issue is? And apparently he had run over some sort of a wire in our backyard while he was doing the lawn. So I go out there and look. Sure enough, there is a green wire that is in the ground that is connected to our house that is now severed. Severed. So I'm looking at it, and it looks like it connects with our solar panels, which we have not even had for a year. And I said, oh, boy. Okay. And then I said to Joe, what happened? What's going on? And he's trying to explain it. I go, and look. And he says, all right, what was that green wire to? And I said, it's the solar panels. He says, well, no. So what does that mean? Does that mean you're not going to have any light? I said, no, Joe, we still have light. It just means that we're not going to be building up any energy credits based on these solar panels. So you can imagine how pleased my wife was about this. So she contacted the solar company immediately. And basically, I think this is the wire that goes from the panels to, whatever stores energy. And she said, they're going to have to come over here and fix it. I don't think they got back to her. Oh, and it didn't help that the guy that she ended up speaking to set up the service appointment had either some difficulty speaking or he was drunk because he was very difficult to understand. So then she comes out and looks at it. She's now really ticked off. And she says, all right, what is this wire? I said, it's over there. I think it's to the solar panels. And then she said, yes, of course it's to the solar panels. What else would this be for? I said, I don't know. That's why I think it's the solar panels. Well, you seemed unsure. I said, honey, there is no way you're going to blame me for this lawnmower guy disconnecting our solar panel wire. So we'll see where it goes. But if it's expensive or even if it's not, if it's anything we have to pay for, we're going to ask him anyway to take it off of our future landscaping bills, because this is the last thing we need right now, I assure you. So that was our adventure today in Moranoville. 800-848, or yesterday, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Vinny in Brooklyn, hello.
Yes, Frank. You asked the woman, April, if you had lived past lives. And in yoga, it is taught, and you can experience by practicing it, that the proof of past lives is the karma each individual has to go through in this life. The differences in people are proof of their past actions in past lives. Nothing in this world is an accident.
Well, that's interesting, Vinny. Thank you. You know, there was a very interesting Korean movie that was nominated for Best Picture last year. It's called Past Lives, and it's Korean American, but most of it's in Korean. I'd say about at least 2/3. And there's an element of what you describe in there. Liz in Florida, we have about 45 seconds. It's all yours if you want it.
Oh, I'm going to make this quick. Hi, Frank. Hi. How are you?
Good. Good.
Okay, we'll talk about sleep deprivation. So this is my thinking. It's what you eat. If you're eating heavy foods, fried foods, especially at night, you can't sleep. If you're not exercising enough, because exercise helps you sleep. And the stress of the world. I mean, who can sleep with all the negative news?
Well
and
said, Liz.
The wrong way.
Well said. Thank you. Keep asking questions.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.